Be a good texter question. Jobs that no longer exist.
Woke up after midnight. Both my neck and arms were sore.
312-981-7200 is the phone call or text number.
On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before.
Somebody said milkman, but there's still milkman.
And I wish that there was someone I could call. The WGN hotline.
Well, you know what it's time for.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Dr. Kevin Most joins us. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Doing all right. How about Bubba Watson, huh? He may
How
be,
about it?
Maybe dumber than a stump, but the boy can play golf, can he?
Yeah, I kind of feel sorry for Jason there those last couple holes, but hey. Bubba's a stud. He can play.
All right, so here's the deal. Kevin has done so well. Kevin, starting in January, had a fast food ban that he was self-imposed. He said, I'm not going to eat fast food. Didn't need it for January, didn't need it for February. But yesterday...
Fell off the wagon?
Well, yesterday was Wing Fest.
Oh.
Exactly. What you said. Kevin, did you catch that the doc's medical opinion was laughing? That was pretty
good. Yeah, I don't think that's good.
I just wonder how far he fell and how much it hurt.
Well, it was Wing Fest, so I just said, forget the diet. This is one of my favorite days.
Well,
how much
weight have you lost?
About 20.
Yeah, and he looks great. Looks great. And, you know, women can't keep their hands off him, as usual.
Yeah,
there's HR complaints left and right in the office that Kevin has to file against them.
Right.
But now, for his overall health, how many wings yesterday, Kev?
I always try to keep track, but midway through, I completely lose track because you get a little hazy after eating all those wings. I would say probably 25, 30-ish.
25 to 30 wings.
Wow.
So is this, and it's, I'm guessing that's a low number. You're probably 3 dozen. I'm guessing 3 dozen is there.
Yeah, you know what, you're probably right.
Yeah.
Right,
so
there.
3 dozen wings for a guy that has spent almost, 50 to 60 days without fast food. What's this going to do to his ecosystem?
Hey, I hope that people heard the earlier part where he said, you know, I stopped fast food and I lost 20 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, the amount of calories.
Well, he was also running. I mean, that's the thing, too. You know,
he did.
Yeah, yep. I hear all these things about people that, you know, they go, well, I lose weight just by dieting. I don't exercise. I don't buy it. I think you got to do both, don't you?
Absolutely.
At least that's what I remember.
So now it's just going to be whether Kevin get back on that wagon and stay away. Hopefully there's not another Wing Fest or Taco Fest or something coming up here in the next couple of weeks.
Well, we're getting into festival season.
Bacon Fest is right around the corner, Doc.
There you go.
How long before he starts to feel pretty good again? Because your body has to go through some sort of process, and not the plumbing part of it I'm talking about here, but just a process to... Does he have to have meat sweats or something? How does he get beyond this?
Oh, I've got those this morning. I'm hurting today. Oh, chicken wing hangover.
Well. Very pale today, Kevin.
Yeah, I don't look good. I don't feel good. But
see? you don't regret it, do you?
No, absolutely not. It's totally worth it.
That's like the guy who hasn't exercised and is going to run a marathon.
Right.
You know, you haven't had anything for 60 days, and all of a sudden you dive into the deep end of the pool.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, to take this back to the benefit of the listeners, which is allegedly why we talk to you, this is a lesson for, you know, you wake up after a hangover, or I should say with a hangover after a bender. That's the same thing Kevin did yesterday. He went on a chicken bender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can ease into other foods instead of chicken wings. I mean, people love chicken wings, but that skin on the chicken wings where all that fat is. And
also known as the good part.
Yeah, exactly. They're not good for you, that is for sure.
All right, so the lesson we've learned here, Kevin, is what?
I don't know. What did we learn? That chicken wings are awesome, and if you eat too many, you can get some sort of
Doc
chicken wing.
On this. Doc, what's the lesson we've learned here?
Remember, Kevin, that 20 pounds that you lost?
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to put that right back. You already struggled and, you know, fought through that. Don't give it up now.
I'll eat something boring today like a salad, and I'll get on
there
the treadmill.
There you go.
We'll kick things off again.
All right, let's go to a quick text question. We'll come back and we'll talk about prescriptions and how they're priced and why Martin Shkreli should do a pay-per-view where for $10 we all get to punch him in the face. Going to Playa del Carmen next week. Any concerns for seniors or babies with the Zika outbreak in that part of Mexico?
No, Cancun. You have to remember that, yeah, the Zika virus, the only person, I shouldn't say that, the only people we're really concerned about with the Zika virus are women who are pregnant or may become pregnant. So 80% of people who get the Zika virus are going to have zero symptoms. They're not even going to know they had it. 20% are going to have some muscle aches, some pain, some low-grade fever. So really not that much of a concern. More of the concern, again, is with those females who may become pregnant because of the chance of microcephaly.
It's 6:46. We'll do traffic, the traffic trouble spot show, then we'll come back, and Doc will talk about the prescription crisis, and if there is one here in America, coming up. First, though, Mary, what do you have? Dr. Kevin Mo, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day. I figure even with a cold snap this coming weekend, Doc, we are 4 weeks from playing golf.
Yeah. I mean, I hit balls on Saturday, so.
Yeah, I did too. I did too. And I talked to a couple guys who actually went out and played. All right, so let's get into this prescription story. Martin Shkreli is the former CEO of something called Turing Pharmaceuticals. Now, this guy, even if you believe all drug companies are evil, this guy takes it to the highest level. He took a drug that was designated or was found to be effective for HIV patients and a couple of other strains. What was the original intent of the drug? The HIV thing was kind of accidental, right?
Yeah, treats a condition called toxoplasmosis, and that's an infection that immunocompromised people can get. So HIV patients can get it as well as patients on chemotherapy.
So he raised the price after he took over the patent on the drug. He raised the price from $1,350 a pill to $750 a pill overnight and became the most hated man in America, which is not easy to do in the era of Trump. And he just continued day after day, week after week, to just foster this image of a creep. We found out, of course, in the investigation of this, that those sort of dramatic increases in pill prices when a patent expires are not that uncommon. So all drug companies aren't evil, but some drug companies are exploiting the system. Is that fair?
Yeah, you know, they're exploiting the system, and they're smart businessmen. A lot of insurance plans, many people are listening right now, your insurance plan, your health coverage probably encourages you to take a generic drug. They may cover the entire cost of the generic, or they give you much lower prices on the generic drug so that you don't have to pay as much. Insurance companies are realizing this, picking up these drugs that have been out there for 20 years and saying, you know what, I can make a little bit of money now because all these insurance companies are encouraging people to take the generic, therefore I'm going to sell more generics.
So why don't we just have all generics? I mean, explain the generic piece of this. The generic is a close knockoff of the patented drug?
It's actually the exact same drug, essentially, as the patented drug. So we can't have all generics or the pharmaceutical business would go out, or this pharmaceutical industry would go out of business. And that is not good because a lot of the pharma industry and a lot of the new drugs are coming out of places here in the United States. So the United States protects those companies. They say, okay, if you're going to develop a new drug, we're going to give you the exclusive rights for 20 years. So it takes about 6-7 years to get through. So they have about 13 years, in some cases 10, to get their money back on their investment. And we say, oh, gosh, they should easily be able to do that. But what people don't understand is that 95% of the drugs that they are testing never make it to market. So 5 out of every 100 actually end up as a drug that is going to be used in people.
So it's an investment banking thing. We'll throw 10 things against the wall. If one hits, maybe we do okay.
Exactly. Yep.
All right.
And it kind of makes sense. I mean, you know, we still want to advance medicine. Many great drugs have come out. If you look at the history of pharmaceuticals, it's just amazing. I mean, you know, in the 20s we had penicillin, and now look at what we have. And a lot of these drugs are excellent drugs and have really made a huge impact and extended the life of many people.
All right. So if we go with the to that level of thinking, which is obviously the right level of thinking, that we need drug companies and we need them to be successful. And it'd be great if they hit on more than 1 in 10. If the money's all going to research and development, why do we keep hearing about the cost of marketing?
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing that I think that's kind of interesting is look at what's going on in marketing now. If you take away all the political ads, so when you're watching TV tonight, take away all the political ads and look at how many of them are medical ads. And before, we used to see medical ads for, oh, say, Nexium or Allegra, you know, so drugs that, like we talked last week about, GERD or allergy medicines, something that is going to be taken by millions of people. And then you have the Viagra and the Cialis commercials that are on every other commercial. You know, lots of people are taking those. So that was their strategy, was to put it out there. And the other thing is they were also looking at getting it all the over-the-counter medicines, medicines you didn't have to go see a doctor in order to get. That was the marketing strategy. And we've seen recently that it's changed. And it'd be interesting to see if you even have recognized any of the changes.
But what would you say the number one change is?
I think the number one change is that now pharmaceutical companies are now marketing drugs that are prescription-driven and that are for a smaller number of patients. So they're really looking for these drugs that are hitting the home runs. We've just talked about Bubba Watson. Think about Phil Mickelson. You know, Phil is on the TV talking about how this new arthritis drug, Enbrel, how it really changed his life. And he had terrible arthritis. He has terrible psoriatic arthritis, but this drug has been a life changer for him. It's allowed him to continue what he's doing. But they, what they don't tell you is this drug costs $30,000 a year.
So there's another drug that's out there now that's for, and we hear the commercials. Commercials run here on WGN for something called Non-24.
Yep.
What is that?
So that was an interesting one, because if you listen to the commercial, they don't talk about the drug at all. They don't even talk about a drug. They just talk about the condition, awareness of that condition. So when you look behind it a little bit, that ad is actually put out by a company called Vanda. And Vanda has come up with a medication to help these people who have this condition of Non-24. There are other medications out there that can possibly do this that cost, oh, say $5, $6 a pill. Their pill, $400 a pill, $12,000 a month to take care of that condition.
So they're hoping to make sure that the awareness is out there. How are they spreading the word that they want patients to ask for Vanda or doctors to prescribe it?
Yeah, if you listen to some of these, they actually even tell you in the commercial, if you have this condition, ask your doctor about this. Ask your doctor if X drug is right for you.
Mm-hmm.
So they're coming back in and asking us, you know, for that. And I'll give you a perfect example. You were on Coumadin for a while, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So there's drugs now called Eliquis and Pradaxa. And those drugs are about $250 a month for anybody with atrial fibrillation, someone that's had a pulmonary embolism in the past. Guess how much Coumadin costs a month?
No idea.
$4.
$4 a month?
$4 a month. You can get it at Target. You can get it at Walmart. It's a $4 a month prescription.
So the pharmaceuticals aren't making any money off Coumadin?
No. I mean, somebody's making money. If they weren't, they'd stop making it, right? Just shows you the amount of the markup that you can have on some of these drugs. So they're making money at Coumadin, on Coumadin. But now look at the other ones, the Pradaxa, the Eliquis. You know, those are the ones that those individuals are paying $1,000 a year when, in fact, they could be paying a whole heck of a lot less.
All right. So this has become a issue for the candidates, particularly the Democrats have been talking about this. But an issue for the candidates. So what's the takeaway for the public here? I mean, how much sway do we have over this? And should this be something that we're pushing Washington on acting on?
Well, yeah, I think there's a couple issues there. One is that, you know, the doctors have as much responsibility in this as the patients. And unfortunately, we're at a point now where doctors need to see patients in a short period of time, unfortunately. So having that discussion with the patient is sometimes difficult. Hopefully they're taking the time to do it or having one of their APNs or PAs discuss the medication, because the ads try to tout that many of these drugs are safer or that they work better. And in some cases, they do. In some cases of rheumatoid arthritis, those drugs are much better than the ones we have. But there's a great portion of the population that still would do fine on the drugs that are $10 a month instead of, you know, $2,000 a month. And we have to make sure that the patient knows that, because a lot of it is just driving up the cost of health care with no better outcomes, to be honest with you.
So don't go in and ask for the drug you saw on TV. Go in and ask the doctor what he recommends for you, he or she.
Well, and you, Yeah, or you can go in and educate yourself and educate the, you know, be educated by the doctor and say, hey, I saw this commercial. Can you tell me if it is right for me or am I on the right drug now? Someone that's fighting with rheumatoid arthritis and is on, you know, some of the other medications and that they're not doing well, okay, that might be an opportunity to say, yeah, we should try one of these, but let's see what your insurance pays or let's see if this is covered by your plan, because if it's not, your out-of-pocket costs are going
to
be.
And what's wrong with cutting? What's wrong with cutting to the chase with a doctor like you or like anybody, and just saying, "Listen, I want the cheapest, most effective alternative possible."
That's it. It's the risk reward. You know, tell me. Let me balance the things here. Tell me how much it's going to cost. Tell me how I'm going to feel. You know, those are the biggest things, and to have that, and tell me what the side effects are, and then let me make a decision. We have to get to that point where we're communicating well about medications, because you can tell that these drug companies know they put a lot of money in Orencia, Humira, Enbrel, Remicade. They put a lot of money into those drugs, and now they're trying to make that money back before those go generic. It'll be interesting to see what the cost of them, what happens to the cost of them when they do.
And interestingly enough, this segment can cause hives and sweating and a rash.
Yeah.
Yeah,
how about it? Most of these things, if you listen to the side effects, you'd say, I'm not going to take any of those.
It's like half the commercial. And every pill is going to kill you. Might help you, but it's probably going to kill you. Doc, great stuff as always. And Ross, do we post notes on this? All right. So if you go to @CochranShow on Twitter and Steve Cochran Show on Facebook, there's valuable information there all the time. And the new easy way to get to the Steve Cochran Show blog is WGNRadio.com/Cochran. And it's all right there. Doc, you're an invaluable resource.
You take care. Have a great day and get ready to shovel some snow tomorrow.
All right, pipe down. Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day.